We realized that there was a gap to support PhD students in the ecosystem, and we said, yeah, let's make it happen.
EIE is focused on introducing young companies that are seeking seed to Series A financing to tech investors.
I tend to think of Danny Scott as Engage, Invest, Exploit. We are developing, connecting, and promoting. So those are the words that are in my head when I think about what does the programme give people.
At the University of Edinburgh, student entrepreneurs are supported in many ways. The Venture Builder Incubator is one of the first steps on the journey from founding to funding, and it's designed specifically for PhD students. The AI Accelerator is based around three broad themes: the use of AI to improve global health, address the climate emergency, and AI for good, while Engage, Invest, Exploit, or EIE, is the Technology Investor Readiness Programme, which counts unicorns like FanDuel among its alumni. I'm Kim McAllister, and these programmes are some of many linked to the new hubs for the Data-Driven Innovation Programme at the University of Edinburgh and Heriot Watt University as part of the City Region deal. This podcast is one of several exploring such projects. I spoke to Laura Bernal, Katie Guthrie, and Danny Helson to find out more about how these three programmes work together. So let's begin, Laura. Thank you for joining me on the podcast. Would you like to give me a little bit of information about you to begin with?
Yeah, no, absolutely. So, well, as you said, I'm Laura. I'm Laura Bernal. I'm originally from Colombia. I've been in Edinburgh for almost a year. Well, no, more than a year now. I came to work on the Venture Builder Incubator, which is a program for PhD students that are looking to translate their research into business opportunities. So effectively, what I do is design a program for them, which is the Venture Builder Incubator, to help them go through the whole process of ideation and market validation and making sure they understand the ecosystem, but also making sure that they feel confident about their idea and that there is an actual business opportunity for them. My background is in journalism and marketing, so it's also great to work with PhDs that are very scientific because then it means that I can help them translate those ideas that are very complex into a more clear proposition for the market. So that's really good. I had my business in the past as well. So it's a lot of empathy there with the founders that I work with as I have been through the process, so I can understand, you know, like what are they going through? So that's really interesting.
So what was the story about setting up this Venture Builder program?
So we are targeting PhD students because we saw that there are more PhD students that are coming out of universities than the amount of researchers and, you know, like research positions that are within universities. We just realized that there has to be something to do with it. And entrepreneurship is such an amazing way to still generate an impact and to make sure that that research that is being generated has a longer trajectory. Because a lot of what happens is a PhD student can either go into an academic career, which great, know, more research, more impact. That's amazing. But then sometimes they can go to find a job, which is also really good. But then that research that they have generated sometimes is not necessarily, you know, like extending beyond that PhD. We understood that we needed to give PhDs a possibility to have another career path that was through entrepreneurship, because it's very exciting, it's very amazing. And a lot of these PhDs are working on amazing projects that can create a big difference to everyone, to the world. So we realized that there was a gap in the support given to PhD students because they're different, you know?
Yeah.
Like it's a student, but also it's not a student because it has a lot of experience working 3 years on something really specific. So they're experts.
Yeah.
And we need that expertise as well, you know, like when we create businesses, we need people that know what is it that they're doing. So yeah, we realized that there was a gap to support PhD students in the ecosystem. And we said, yeah, let's make it happen.
And it's going really well. I know. I mean, I've heard some of the stories of the people and the businesses that you've supported. But from your point of view, what springs to mind or what types of people have come through this program?
Well, we have a little bit of everything. We have had, in the first cohort, we had a vet. He was working on an early pregnancy test for keto.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really interesting. You know, he was a postdoc. He was in a PhD. He was a postdoc. And he was working on this new innovation. He said, there's something that we could do for the market, for the farmers, but I didn't really understand business. I didn't really understand how the ecosystem works. We also had someone working on a robot to plant seagrass. We had a mini cohort of cancer-related projects using AI to identify drug discoveries or to identify right treatment. We have had people working on education. So one of the founders, he's a PhD in physics. And what he is developing is a tool, is a program to help students study chemistry, because now they aren't labs in schools as they used to. And science is very important. So this founder came up and said, like, no, we need to save this. You know, like, if people are not, you know, like, having the possibility to go to labs, we're going to give them the possibility to do it online.
Yeah, great idea. I mean, this is the exciting thing, is that these are not just ideas. These are very fully formed ideas, because they've obviously been at the core of a PhD. So you can imagine that they're pretty high level ideas. So the jump into business is different, right, from other entrepreneurs who maybe have a different type of idea. So how does that fit into the whole ecosystem in terms of the other support that people might get at the university?
Yeah, as I was saying before, PhD is a little bit different because, as you said, they have a form idea, but sometimes this idea is formed around the technology. And this can be dangerous sometimes, because you're not thinking necessarily about the problem that you're solving, but you're thinking straight away about the solution. And when you're trying to do that with business, sometimes it doesn't really work, because you're serving someone to solve a problem. And when you start by the solution and you're trying to fit that solution with someone else, sometimes it's you're trying to look for a problem that probably doesn't exist. Sometimes it does, and it's very clear. And when researchers and PhD students specifically start with the research, they have to ask a question that it's a problem and it's a gap. So, you know, like, the start as well as how we start in business, it's just that sometimes it's a research problem, not necessarily
a real world
everyday life.
Yeah,
exactly. An everyday life problem. Mm. So the whole process is just making them understand what's the trajectory and what are those elements, let's say, that they need. Mm-hmm. And be like, okay, you have this technology. This is great. What's the problem that you're actually solving? Because other founders that, for example, don't have IP and don't have such a domain expertise, most of the time have their ideas coming from problems that they have experienced themselves and they want to solve.
Because a PhD student is so deep in their subject that I imagine then applying that in a different marketplace is quite a leap mentally. So to have that support of this program must be so great for them. I mean, what's the feedback you're getting from them?
Oh, amazing feedback. You know, we have had amazing feedback. And I mean, as you said, yes, one of the first things is about how do we understand the ecosystem? Round of investment, you know, like, how does this work? IP, what's the difference between startup and spin out? Because, you know, like, for all of these founders, those things doesn't really mean anything before they decide to be entrepreneurs. You know, it's like, how do I move, and how, what's the process, and what's the language that I have to talk to?
Yeah.
You know, like, what's the language that I have to use to talk to clients, but also what's the language that I have to use to talk to investors? And even little things about, you know, like, stakeholder management, and, you know, like, making sure that they have tactics to negotiate and tactics to maybe set up calls.
And it is really exciting. So what do you enjoy most about your role at Venture Builder?
I love that I learn all the time. For me, it's such a joy to learn from these founders, but also just to know that they are doing amazing things and that I'm helping them to make it happen. There was this founder that she wanted to create, well, she's creating like another way to identify cervix cancer. When you have a smear test, it's not comfortable at all. So what she wants is to create an alternative so you can have saliva samples to identify if you are, you know, like, at risk of having cervix cancer. And I think that's such a big thing, you know, because, of course, I still get those letters from the NHS like, oh, please come and do the exam. I'm like, no, that's so uncomfortable. I don't want to do that. And she identified that as a problem because she's saying, like, why do we still have cervix cancer problems when it's 100% preventable? Because people don't test. And why they don't test? Because it's so uncomfortable. Let's change the way it happens. We can do it with saliva.
And the great thing about Venture Builder is it's part of such a huge institution. So not only are you helping them with the process, you can point them in the direction of the people that can help them, because you're already part of a huge network, right?
Yeah, no, exactly. And I think that's another part of my role that I enjoy, and is the fact that I always tell founders that I do networking on their behalf. I go and I'm present within the ecosystem, but of course the ecosystem keeps expanding. So yeah, you're absolutely right. Part of my role is also to identify what it's out there, what type of support is available. You know, like, I don't like to give advice and then be like, do this or do that, because I honestly think that in business, there are many answers to one question. And I like to give founders perspectives. So I like to give my perspective, but I also like to say, here is a mentor, here is an expert, here is this program, here is this blog, build your own repository of information, and then make some decisions based on this.
I'm Katie Guthrie, and I'm the program manager for the AI Accelerator that's running at the University of Edinburgh. And we are really helping AI-driven companies who are making a positive impact to grow and scale their business.
Good morning, my name is Danny Helson. I'm the head of the EIE program delivery and investor relations. And EIE is based out of the Bay Centre, which is part of the University of Edinburgh.
And EIE stands for Engage, Invest, Exploit. Is that right?
It is indeed.
And why was it named that?
Well, when we started off, there was very little actually happening in this space at the time. And we thought, well, how are we going to get a name that people will remember and discuss to get that up? So we wanted to engage with the wider tech community, especially tech investors. We wanted them to invest in the programs that were coming out at that time and to support the nascent tech companies that were emerging. And then we wanted them to exploit that opportunity. So we deliberately chose the exploit word because it could be slightly controversial. But actually, we also put a definition out on our first brochure. I say brochure, it was an A4 sheet of paper, just giving the definition of exploit as a noun. Exploit, advantage, progress, speed, success, furtherance, the endeavor to gain advantage or mastery over personal place, an enterprise or project, an act or deed, a feat, etc. And so it wasn't purely a negative word. So we did it just to get attention.
That's always a good way to do things. You've got to shout about it. And Katie, with the AI Accelerator, how do you attract people onto that and what do they sign up to?
Yeah, so we're currently out for applications. In fact, they close tomorrow. And we've had a 6-week application process. We are gone out through social media. We've got lots of direct mails. We've used different company databases to help us, like PitchBook and Bohurst, to help us identify relevant companies and then mailed them. So we are out looking for applications from companies from basically anywhere in the world to take part. I'm expecting that we'll probably have slightly more Scottish than other, but we will definitely have a bit of an international contingent as well. The programme that they sign up to is a 6-month programme, which this one kick off in September. And as part of that programme, they take part in various different activities. They tend to come along, so companies will come with whatever it is that they do. And we've had a really eclectic mix of sectors in terms of the companies that take part. Common themes are that they're all in a reasonably early stage, so they're not kind of brand new necessarily, but they're still fairly early. They've got some kind of product that they are taking to market. Where they're at, they're still very much developing and kind of changing. So we're helping them to scale. So what they're signing up to, the activities we run pretty much most weeks for that 6-month period, will help them on their kind of developing their product, developing themselves, developing their proposition.
Do they get physical space?
Yeah, so the companies that are taking part will get physical office space in the Bay Centre for it to be. We run activities every week, so normally on a Wednesday and a Thursday, we might focus in on particular, whether it's people issues, whether it's tech, whether it's marketing. So we have different themes. They're business skills, there's the tech skills, and then there's the domain expertise. The companies will almost always have their domain expertise, but they'll know and understand what it is that they're trying to do and the area they're working in. But the other two, sometimes there's gaps, particularly in business skills or in technology skills. So they've come from different backgrounds, and we will focus in particularly on business, but also giving them the chance to connect to people who will have more domain expertise and more tech expertise. So we'll connect them. So I tend to think of Danny Scott as Engage, Invest, Exploit. We are developing, connecting and promoting. So those are the words that are in my head when I think about what does the programme give people.
That's brilliant. And what I really like is that there's the three parts, because we've already spoken to Laura for the podcast and she's explained about Venture Builder. And I know that the three of you work closely together. So is it as simple as they come into Venture Builder first, they move into AI and then they end up in EIE, or is that not really the path? What's been the experience, Danny?
EIE kicked off in 2008. And as I said, we were sort of there at the beginning of the tech startup scene in Edinburgh. The Venture Builder program and the AI Accelerator have come along later, but they all complement each other, I can put it that way. Simplistically, Venture Builder is looking at getting more PhD level people to set up businesses. And then the AI Accelerator would be a great feed on for people that have actually set up their businesses and going on from that. But conversely, we have people that early on in their journey that would come to EIE or come through EIE and could feed into either program. And we've had examples of that over recent years. We've had Danu Robotics, which went to EIE first, but went on to the Venture Builder. And then in this year's cohort, for instance, we've got a company called Indigo AI, who were actually part of Katie's AI Accelerator program, and then went on to apply for EIE. So it's not as linear as you might think. It's horses for courses. EIE is focused on introducing young companies that are seeking seed to Series A financing to tech investors. The AI Accelerator is a slightly different offering to that in terms of support, but again, preparing them for getting external investment.
EIE is always a great event. I've been a couple of times and it's just so inspiring to see all these businesses. And we say young businesses, we don't always mean young people. You know, it's people who've maybe come into entrepreneurship later in their careers and they've brought all sorts of experience with them, and then they pitch and it's all very exciting and it's almost like live Dragon's Den. You're thinking, oh, who's going to get the money? And it's very exciting. And you've obviously been around the longest. So how do you feel the tech ecosystem is developing in Edinburgh? Do you think we're a bit of a hub?
Yes, I think it's been phenomenal. I think the geography of Edinburgh does lend itself to being such a successful tech cluster. We're all within very close walking distance of each other. All of the programs help sort of feed into what's going on, shared expertise. There's fantastic collaboration that happens there. The initial tranche of companies that we used to house in the Appleton Tower in Edinburgh on the top three floors there, a lot of them went off to seed what became TechCube. And then subsequently went on and moved into Codebase, which has grown phenomenally over the years as well, and run a whole load of fantastic programs. So we all know each other. We all sort of get on and want the same thing in terms of helping this tech cluster within Edinburgh grow and prosper. We also draw from right across Scotland. So from our outset, we were always a pan-Scotland project. So we've always pulled and done events across Scotland. And then 2017, we actually opened up that a bit further for EIE. So we were drawing companies from across the UK, but we're also pulling in companies from across the world now. So we've had applications and cohort through from Australia, North America, Europe, Africa. So it's reach is getting better and better each year.
Wow. And it feeds into this idea, because obviously the Data Driven Innovation Program is a big funder for these, all three of your programs. And it just feeds into this wonderful idea of data driven in entrepreneurship or decisions or how you build a company and then how you grow the prosperity of the region, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And the fact that the Data Driven Innovation Program really set out the stall that Edinburgh would become data center for Europe. So the ambition was set out, and it's a fantastic ambition to have. The program has really helped get that focus into what we're trying to achieve here. And from the investor point of view, you know, it's very clear that there's an immense strength in informatics. So there's lots to attract investors to what's going on up here. And you can see from the programs just within the Bay Centre itself that we have these three programs that are really providing a fantastic pipeline of innovation that will come through. So we've got opportunities that are ready right now, but there's also this whole pipeline of activity that's going to supply opportunity for the future.
Fantastic. And Katie, it was interesting to hear you say that you're not expecting all your applicants to be Scottish. It kind of feeds into what Danny was saying there. Are people really recognising Edinburgh as a hub that's worth travelling to and working in?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've got applications from all over the world, from Africa, from Canada. And Danny mentioned Indigo.ai, who took part in the AI Accelerator previously and are now taking part in EIE. They're an Italian company, so they were very much attracted to Edinburgh because of the strength of capability within the university there. They have a no-code platform for building conversational assistants. And so they kind of, in terms of the talent pipeline and the research, were definitely kind of factors in them applying to take part and shifting to Scotland.
And just to give us an idea of the scale of the two programmes, how many do you reckon will be in the next cohort, Katie?
So we're looking at recruiting 12 to take part in the next cohort, and we've got three themes for the next one, which are AI for global health, tackling climate change, and AI for good, which is a little bit woolly, but it does enable us to pull in, you know, basically to keep our options open and to pull in companies who are making sure that AI is safe and ethical, etc., etc., but also companies who are using it for kind of good purposes, if it's, you know, improving equality or whatever. So there are, we've got quite a range across those themes. They're quite broad. So I'm really looking forward to, I've started reading the applications, but I'm really looking forward to seeing who we have in the cohort.
And what about EIE? It's a bit bigger than 12, isn't it?
It's a little bit bigger than 12. For this year's cohort, there'll be about 40 companies. We've got 36 at the moment. There's a couple that have been on our reserves list but are progressing well, so they may be on. But, I mean, over the years, we've had over 540 companies now that have been supported through the EIE Investor Readiness Programme.
Fantastic. And any big names over the years that people might recognise?
Well, the one that comes through quite regularly is FanDuel, because they clearly created quite a stir in the US. So that was a big success that came through. More currently, we've just done an event down at London, at the London Stock Exchange. Four of our alumni companies there, so Snapdragon. The speech graphics was one that came out of School of Informatics, two PhD students set up that company. Intelligent Growth Solutions was through a few years ago. So there's some very good success stories I'm going through.
So just before we finish, Katie, I know that you love your job. What is it you love most about it?
You know, I have always liked tapas and mezze. I like dabbling. I like seeing a lot of different things. And really, I think I like most about it. Well, I'm going to say two things. I want just to be controversial. It's the mix of different companies doing amazing things across lots of different sectors. I really enjoy that. And actually seeing sometimes those connections that are not the most obvious, where a company who's got, you know, who's looking at cancer research is actually able to help a company who's in the movie business, which it just doesn't seem necessarily that logical. But that interaction between the cohort is probably the second kind of favourite thing. Like I love being able to help, so being able to help myself, but also seeing them help each other and working together with them. So I think those are the two things, the mix, but also the being able to help and just seeing those kind of the light bulb moments that you get from time to time.
Every day that I'm engaging with the people that have been brave enough to take this entrepreneurial step, I just feel very motivated by their achievements. It's no easy thing at all, and the hours that these people put in is just absolutely unbelievable. So I'm very inspired by the people that are out there trying to make the world a better place and trying to do good things for society.
Thanks for listening, and don't forget to check out the other podcasts in this series. To find out more about the Data-Driven Innovation Programme, just go to ddi.ac.uk, or you can follow on Twitter at Data Capital Ed.